Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not Steve Ledford, as the bulletin says. I was supposed to give a lesson December 25th, but I got sick. Actually, I had COVID. So he had to fill in quickly. And so when the schedule came out, he said, "You owe me. Take my spot." And so that's what I'm doing this morning. And I'm going to give you the lesson that I was going to give on December 25th. And it's titled, Goals. It was really had to do with New Year's resolutions. So we're about a month into the new year. And I already hear on the news that most people have already failed keeping their New Year's resolutions. So it makes sense to give this lesson now. It's not too late. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We set goals. Maybe for the year, maybe for longer. We might set goals about our education or our career, our physical health. But I'm going to focus on the last thing, setting goals for our spiritual health. We're going to talk about goals of spiritual growth. And the scriptures that Bruce read this morning talked about we need to become mature so that things that come at us from the world don't toss us to and fro and we start going down the wrong path of life. And so our goal should be to grow every day spiritually. And that's the scripture that he read. And it talked about building up the body, unity of faith, knowledge of the Son of God. We're needing to grow up in every way, and the growing is what happens. We start out life as babies and we grow up. It just sort of happens. Spiritually, we need to do the same thing. We're going to start out as babies, as Christians, and we need to grow every day. With any goals that you set, if you don't have a plan to achieve them, guess what? It's not going to happen. It just doesn't happen by chance. We have to make plans. In the business world that I was in, we would set some plans. We would have some goals to develop some products. And then, once we got funded, we would have to put together a plan. And we would have certain dates that we would have to meet as this plan progressed. We'd have a bunch of tasks, we'd have to meet the plan. And so the same thing needs to be true, okay, for us in our spiritual growth. We need to have a way to accomplish this. And guess what? Just like we should always do when it comes to spiritual things, we need to consult God's revelation to us. We need to look at the Bible. And there's a plan that God shows us in Acts chapter 2 that really works. And I'll explain how I know it works. And it's an amazing plan. In Acts chapter 2, it says, "And they devoted themselves," either the new Christians, that some 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost became Christians. They were baptized for the forgiveness of sin. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the bread and the breaking of bread and the prayers. Acts 2:42. So it's the end of chapter 2. It begins on the day of Pentecost. Okay? There were people present at that event in Jerusalem from all over the world. Let me read verses 5 through 11 to just give you a flavor of who was there. There were 3 days throughout the year that Jewish people were to come to Jerusalem, where the temple was located, and worship God. And this was one of those days. The name Pentecost comes from the Latin 50. Unlike Nathan, I don't just want to throw around Greek words, Latin words, and things like that, because I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, 50 days after the Passover Sabbath was Pentecost. So the Sabbath was on a Saturday. So this was the first day of the week. Just a little fact there for you. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and at the sound of the multitude, came together as they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Now, as Steve pointed out this morning, see, I'm cherry picking a scripture without the background. You have no idea what I'm talking about. But I'm going to do it anyway. Sorry, Steve. I learned slowly in life. So, what had happened is the Holy Spirit had descended upon the apostles. And there was a great noise associated with it. And all of a sudden, you know, people rush, what's going on? We're hearing these sounds. And here were these 12 guys from Galilee speaking foreign languages. Boy, I wish I had one of those gifts. We could speak Spanish. So, they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? And then there's this list of names: Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Ptolemy, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. That must have been some event. And here's a map. You can look at it yourself, just showing all the regions that people had come to Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost to worship God. And they came from all over. It took them many days to even get there, but they were there. Maybe they stayed from being there on Passover week. You know why? If it took you 30 days to get someplace and you went home 30 days there, you'd be late. So they maybe just hung around for this day of Pentecost celebration. Okay. As we continue reading in the book of Acts, chapter 2, we find out that after a certain amount of time, probably about 2 years, the persecution of Christians in Jerusalem. Now, what I didn't tell you was those people who became Christians stayed in Jerusalem. They didn't go back home. Why? Because the apostles were there with the words that they needed to hear. This new way of living your life. And so they were there. So the Christians in Jerusalem, so about 2 years later, were under such tremendous persecution that they were scattered. They went back home. They went other places. And we're going to read about that. There was a zealous Jew by the name of Saul. He was from Tarsus. He's known as Saul of Tarsus. Eventually, he would become known as Paul, the Apostle Paul. But they had taken one of the young Christian men by the name of Stephen and stoned him to death. And it tells us here that Saul approved of the execution of this Christian man, Stephen. In fact, he felt that's because they were teaching error. They were not following God properly, and so they needed to be either put in prison, they needed to either change their way of thinking, or be executed, which was in the case of Stephen, because he boldly stood up and talked about Jesus. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. They stayed in Jerusalem. But the other Christians, many of them, who were from other places, left. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him, but Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house and dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. What did the scattered Christians do? They gave up being Christians. Didn't work out. Cost us our lives. Either be put in jail or leave. You know, the world today has the same problem. There are people fleeing their countries and going somewhere else because it's unsafe for them to live where they're from, or it's they can't make a living there, and so we have refugees. Well, these people couldn't stay in Jerusalem, and so they left. What did they do? Now, those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to Samaria and proclaimed to them Christ. Acts chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. Whoa, wait a minute. They've been Christian for a couple years. Some of those people from those countries never even heard of Jesus, let alone heard him say anything. And yet they became followers of Jesus. And in within 2 years, when they had to leave, did they forget about Jesus? No. They started preaching about him. They established congregations. Have you ever known anybody in your life that's done that? I have. Harold Ritchie came to Massachusetts from Studebaker Road Church that met in Long Beach, California. He came with his family, 4 children. There was no church in the Boston area. He tried to meet with some of the institutional groups. They wouldn't let him teach. They wouldn't let him preach. So he started the work in Framingham, Massachusetts in late 1969. In 1970, so that when Janet and myself and my family of 2 boys came, there was a group of Christians in Framingham, Massachusetts. It wasn't too long before things didn't work out for Harold, and so his company moved him to Minnesota, either St. Paul or Minneapolis. There was no church there either, so he started to work there. And later on, they sent him to Iowa, and there was no church there, and he started another one. And he ended up in Texas, and there were lots of churches in Texas. But then he loved to play golf, and he retired, and he built a home in Arkansas somewhere. And maybe Nathan even knows him. I don't know where it was in Arkansas. There was no church there. Well, he started another group. So that was what he did, you know. And his father was an elder at Studebaker Road. And his oldest son, Stephen, became an elder in California, where they met, in Saddleback Valley, which is just north of San Clemente, where my sister lives. So when we would go out to California, we would worship for them. Brother Ron is a deacon with the Campbell Road Church in Dallas area. And that's where all of our brethren go that leave here. Dennis, Gelbert, and others are there. But we got their preacher. We got a preacher from them. So the preacher in Boston is actually from Campbell Road. But so the kids were there for a while. I think Ron is still maybe a deacon there, maybe an elder. And the other two children are also worshiping there. So anyway, that's what he did, and that's what we can do also. And I'm thankful for what he did. Well, how was this possible? Well, I think the answer is in Acts 2:42. And I don't have time left. And they devoted themselves. These are those first Christians, these 3,000 souls and those that followed after them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Acts 2:42. So, big picture. Persecution after 2 years. Christians left. They preached Jesus. How were they able to do that? Because in that 2 year period, they were devoting themselves to these four things. And what did this look like? Well, all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together. Day by day. Why did they go to the temple? Well, that's where the apostles were, teaching. They were breaking bread in their homes. They were having meals together. They were receiving food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all men. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Okay. So these were things that they did. They devoted themselves to four things. We're going to talk about them. The apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And, pardon me, but in the Greek, the article the is there. So, these were things that they participated in, that they devoted themselves to in that 2 year period. I've presented lessons on this material. I probably devoted a whole session to each one of these. We're not going to do that again. Read it for yourself. Study it for yourself. But I'll just kind of give you some highlights in the time remaining. The apostles' teaching. We don't have the apostles to listen to today, but we do. It was written down. The Holy Spirit has preserved it. We have it right here. So the apostles' teachings can be learned by us, and we can share it with others. It's not what we know, it's what God has revealed to us and kept it, preserved it for us to teach others. So it's important. The apostles' teachings are important. What did it say in Acts 2:46? They attended the temple daily, and they were hearing the words of Jesus, Acts 2:46. Jesus has the words of eternal life. And here's where I'm going to be violating Steve's point this morning. Here's a scripture in John chapter 6, the Gospel of John. Simon Peter answered Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." So Jesus has the words of eternal life. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter writes, "Like newborn infants, we are to long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." And so the stuff that's in here is spiritual food for us, like babies need milk. And everybody that's been around an infant, they don't just once a week say, "I'm hungry, do you have any milk?" They want it hourly. And so we are to long for what's in God's Word, what the apostles taught, wrote down, and we can learn about, so that we can grow up in the salvation. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, a lot of words there, but the main thought is his divine power has granted to us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue with knowledge. How are you going to get the knowledge? You have to look what's in the book. You have to spend time in the book. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to Steve or Nathan. Listen to us, but get it. Make sure what we say is in the book. That's where the knowledge is. So that just very quickly covers the apostles' teaching. It's in the book. How about the fellowship? What's that? Is that having a meal together? Not in the Bible. It's more than that. Fellowship is joint participation. It's active participation. It's being continuously involved in some common interest. It's sharing. That's what fellowship is. That's what we do. That's what having fellowship among the body of Christians. It's jointly participating. It's actively participating. It's continuously involved in what our common interest? Jesus. And his life, his teachings, and we are interested in doing it and sharing. In Acts chapter 2, it said this: and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions, and I read this to you before. And in Acts chapter 4, it goes on to say, by the way, the book of Acts was guiding the physician Luke in writing things down that covers the history of what happened after Jesus died on the cross. What happened? What happened? And then we read about that on the day of Pentecost. There was a great noise, and there were miracles, and the apostles started teaching. Okay. So by the time you get to chapter 4, it says, those who believed were one heart and soul, and no one said any of these things that belonged to him was his own, and they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace upon them was on them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. Acts chapter 4. And Nathan, in his lesson this morning, talked about the act of contribution, the gift of contributing. And that's what you see these first century Christians doing. How about the breaking of bread? Okay, sometimes in the Bible, the word breaking of bread just means having a meal. You know, some people say, come over to my house and let's break bread. And, you know, growing up in an Italian family, we had French bread, and if you have a loaf of bread, you tear it apart and pass it around to people. If it let it sit around a day, it becomes a baseball bat, and so you have to smash it to break it. But anyway, that's, you know, having a meal. So that's the breaking of bread, but it involves, you know, eating a meal. But not the breaking of bread in the context of this verse. This refers to the Lord's Supper. Okay? It refers to what we just partook of. The breaking of bread, which was, we had a little bread, we had a little fruit of the vine as well. And sometimes one word kind of represents the whole thing that was taking place, because when we read in Acts chapter 20, Paul, who had been traveling around preaching the gospel, ends up in Troas, and he happens to show up on a Monday, and he missed the assembly of the Christians on the Sunday, and so he hangs around. And he waits till the next first day of the week, and it says on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to barter the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. Again, this is reference to he wanted to have the Lord's Supper. He wanted to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus with the Christians that were meeting there. And so he stayed until the first day of the week, and he preached as well. In fact, he preached all the way till midnight. I'm not going to do that. Sorry. It's a communion. It's a joint participation. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul writes, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the participation? That's the same word for communion. That's the same word for fellowship. Is it not the participation in the blood of Christ? The breaking, the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? So when we partake of this meal, it is a fellowship. It is joint participation. It is a communion that we're having with Jesus our Lord. And it's also a time when we examine ourselves. Let a person examine himself, and if when he eats the bread or drinks the cup, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. Oh. Well, what's going on here? Well, if we don't put food into our body, we get sick, we get weak, and we die physically. If we don't put spiritual food into our body, if we don't put the Word of God into our body, and we will become weak and ill, and we'll stop growing. So, the breaking of bread is an important thing, and it's also associated with growth, our spiritual growth. And finally, the prayers. And that was certainly one of the things that was talked about by Nathan. Jesus, we know, as our example, prayed often. And rising early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Mark's Gospel. And in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. This was the night before he selected the 12 men that became the apostles. Prayed all night. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him, and when they came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter the station. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. This was the custom of Jesus before he would head back to where he was staying during that Passover week. And it was because it was such a ritual that he would always do. This is how Judas was able to know, I know where he's going to be late at night. And he brought the folks there who arrested him and put him in the trial and eventually crucified him. Jesus prayed often. And Paul certainly instructs us to pray without ceasing. Okay, we'll read this in 1 Thessalonians, where Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We need to be praying, people. Okay, we've laid out some things. We need to set some goals. We need to want to grow spiritually. And so we need to have as a goal for this year, you know, we have a theme. We need to have a goal. And that is, let's all do things to help us grow spiritually. Certainly spiritual health is more important than physical health. Paul wrote, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer shell is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. We're all going to face death. this outer shell is wasting away. That doesn't mean you're skinny. It just means you're getting more frail. But we can feed the inner body and keep growing. You do not retire from spiritual food. You do not retire from growing spiritually. I've been retired from working as an engineer for over 30 years. Hopefully, I haven't stopped working for the Lord. We need to devote ourselves daily in these areas. We should be attending all the assemblies that we have. Wednesday night, Sunday morning Bible studies, worship service, a Lord's sermon, Lord's Supper sermon, and a second sermon. We need to be here. We have gospel meetings twice a year. We need to be present. We have family groups that we've formed. We should be attending those. There are reading programs that are available. Here's a reading program that I post every year. It's in the back. 5 days a week you read the Bible, and 1 year you'll read the whole Bible. You don't have to do that. You know, just have a reading program that says, I'm going to read the Psalms this year. I'm going to read Proverbs this year. Whatever. You need a reading program. Not a bad idea. How about home Bible studies? I'm a Christian because of a home Bible study. Okay. I went to assemblies of the church in Winnetka, California for a whole year. They have worship service. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 6 p.m. I met with them on Wednesday nights. I went with them on Bible class. I remember Sunday morning Bible class. We were studying the book of Romans. 3 verses a week. Boy, that taught me what to do. So, fortunately, the preacher got up, right Randolph, and said, "You know what, folks? We got to start having cottage classes, huh? Cottage meetings, cottage studies. What are you talking about?" And then he explained it. He said, "Well, that's when you go sit around the kitchen table and you study the Bible with other people." And I leaned over to Janet and said, "You know what? We need to do that at our house." "I can't teach the class." She said, "No problem. We'll have one at our house." And sure enough, one of the brothers showed up and started teaching the Bible study. And you know what you can do around the kitchen table when you're studying the Bible? You can ask questions. "I don't understand what that says." And I have participated in home studies for years. Okay, we used to meet at the Melanson's. And now we meet at Rosie's. And it's every week at a certain time. And it's an opportunity for Rosie and her neighbor to ask her neighbors, "You know, what's going on at your house every evening?" We used to meet Friday nights, now we meet Thursday. "What's going on? You have a Bible study. Come join us." And we've had people come join us. Skip always had one. The Dugas have one. Nathan has them. Scott and Celine have one at their house. I mean, we need those. And if it's too far for you to drive, we'll have one at your house. And one of the brothers will come and help teach. Really important. Home Bible studies. Certainly, there are a lot of Bible studies on the internet. You can participate in those. Key thing, theme of the year, we need to be a living sacrifice. You need to set some specific goals and commit to some dates. Without that, it's not going to happen. If you don't, you know, get something like this that tells you 5 days a week what you got to read, you're not going to read the Bible in a year. You got to set some goals. Why not assist or teach a Bible class? Set that as a goal. How about hosting a Bible study? We talked about that. How about hospitality? Just have people over to break bread. Visit the sick, And I like, there's lists of things in the Bible, and one of the best things is, and things like this, because I can't get up here and tell you all the things that you can do for spiritual growth, but there's a lot of things that you can do. Brethren, we need to devote ourselves daily to activities that help us grow. The people we associate with, our friends, what we spend our time with, you know. Not going off and doing things with other people that aren't Christians. You know, climbing mountains, doing this and that. They're great activities, they're healthy activities. But we need to be doing these things together, to help us to grow spiritually. That's the lesson tonight. It's the stroke of noon, so I've made it into the next period of time, the afternoon. And if you're not a Christian, step one is to become one. If you don't know how to do that, there are people here that will help you do that. If you need more Bible study, we can do that. We've got water. It's been tested. It works. I don't see Pat. She's out there somewhere. Anyway, I've put an extra 20 gallons in since that baptism, so there's a lot of water in there now. Let's use it. Let's not lose it. So if you're subject to the call, please come as we stand and sing.